And we ask that the person that protects your right not to show up to forums or debates, and you have a person that protects your right to have a grudge against them or do it. So, I thought we were in a tough state in Chicago. They were very tough. Well, these candidates aren't afraid to answer some questions that were put together by the. I'm not the one who actually came up with the questions. I'm more or less serving as the moderator, the leader of the questions. It was a good question put together by various reporters, union activists, community activists, politicians, et cetera, and so forth. So, I'm going to introduce them one by one before I take them. I'm going to introduce them one by one, and they're going to come out and take their seats. So we'll start off with Ken Buckham. Seconds for your answers and 30 seconds for rebuttal.
selected candidates. Finally, we'll have a speed round question, that will cap off our poll. Everybody got the rules? I will now invite the candidates to introduce themselves. There are 9 seconds for each candidate to speak, and we start with Cam.
Thank you, Dan. Good evening, everybody. My name is Cam Butler, and I'm running for mayor of Chicago because Chicago can't wait for another moment for a safer, more just, more equitable city. I'm a son of Chicago, born and raised in the South Side. My late father, Reagan, was a law enforcement officer. My mother, Yolanda, is here tonight. I spent 3 decades as a Chicago school teacher, and they taught us that service is the rent that you pay into living. They love Chicago. They were true Chicagoans. I have spent the last 4 years in the Legislative Assembly representing the 26th District, which is the most diverse district in the state of Illinois. My district spans from South Shore to the Gold Coast. As mayor of Chicago, my plan and my promise is to create safety and justice for each of Chicago's 77 communities and each of our 50 wards. To also create a fairer, more equitable, better funded education system. And also to make sure that we have environmental justice, a transportation system that works, opportunity for all of the people we know that they talk about, Mayor Daley, the former, Chicago being a city that works, you know, work for everybody. So we have work to do together. I don't want to just be mayor of Chicago, I want to be mayor for Chicago, but we're helping to do that in the DC for.
Next up, Jim Alvarez.
My name is Jim Alvarez. I'm running for mayor of the city of Chicago because I'm tired of politicians who don't keep their word. I'm tired of political systems not working in the best interest of people all across the city. I'm tired of walking in neighborhoods each and every day, seeing young people homeless, seeing young people carjacking and shooting and killing each other. And I'm tired of continuing to see folks in the neighborhoods feel like they have to leave the city of Chicago to experience any type of happiness. I'm running for mayor of Chicago because I've been a community organizer for many years on behalf of all Chicagoans, whether it was on behalf of anti-violence, whether it was during the pandemic when businesses were looted, we came up with $250 million to get them back open, whether it was fighting the largest bank in the world and Chase Bank when they were redlining in the South and West Side, we made them give back $1 billion to the South and West Sides over the next 5 years. I've always stepped up and organized with folks all across this city to create a better future for our city. I'm running because we need someone that's connected to the neighborhoods, connected to this generation, has the energy to step up and fight the powers that be and move forward a vision to help create a future that we can all believe in together.
Brandon Johnson.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Brandon Johnson. I'm proud to serve as the Cook County Commissioner, the First District representing the West Side of Chicago and the West Side Suburbs. Thank you specifically to this small organization. You know, the best job I've ever had is as a public school teacher. I taught public school in 3 grade. And I taught my West Side of Chicago at Western House. General Academy at Western House. You know, as a public school teacher, particularly in Green Green, Green Green has been the emphasis of everything that is possible and things that are wrong about the city. My students will wake up in the morning and see the largesse of our economy in the Baton Rouge and downtown Chicago. But in the front, out of the front row, they can have bulldozers standing them down preparing to destroy their own houses. For too long in this city, we have families throughout the city of Chicago who are running, chasing an economy that's behind us, while everything in front of us is crumbling. It can be better. My wife and I are raising our children on the west side of Chicago. They are a product of this public school system. I'll do anything in my power to protect our children. And I'll also do that as mayor of Chicago. Because what I want for my family is what I want for the families across the city. And no one's going to work harder. As an organizer and a teacher, we work collectively, many of us work collectively within the school board to raise the minimum wage, to make sure that there's accountability within our police department, to ensure access to affordable and public housing. As a mayor of Chicago, you will not have to fight somebody who does not agree with you. This previous administration has opened up a promise, and I'm a promise to you. Thank you.
Sophia.
Good evening, everyone. Sophia King, over on the fourth floor. I'm running for mayor because I love the city. But we are at a pivotal point. There's so much dissension between this administration and the police, between this administration and our teachers, between this administration and my colleagues who are speaking with their feet. We need somebody who can lead with collaboration, not confrontation. Somebody who attacks problems and not people. I've been able to do that over the last 6.5 years as alderman of the fourth ward. I've been able to lead with compassion and to get things done. I led the fight for a $15 minimum wage hike, which brought 400,000 people out of poverty and 100,000 to livable wages. I led and am leading the micro lease development, which is showing that developers can see it outside and the community can see it outside. I, as chair of the Progressive Caucus, help lead civilian oversight of the police across the world. But we also need somebody who understands how to represent the entire city and not just segregated populations. I go from downtown to Hyde Park with Bronzeville in the middle, one of the most diverse wards in the city. But the number one request I get is for more police presence. What does that tell me? That there's still a respect and a reverence for police. We cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. I understand that we can uplift police and hold them accountable, that we can have safety and justice. I am the one to do that. Thank you. Thank you.
My background is in mental health, which is the biggest crisis right now. 40 years I've been helping people to help themselves and discover their own problems. My vision is to take all of us on a journey within ourselves, because we've been taught to find our and seek our problems that are all outside. We're blaming people, we're blaming the government, and my experience helps people discover that all their problems are within themselves. So I'm going to bring a lot of support and mental health to all the people in Chicago, because if you can't help people overcome their own problems, you can offer them jobs, you can offer them anything. I'm offering them an opportunity to be happy with themselves. And that's my vision for the future.
Robert Swain.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I share concerns that a lot of them have, and I'll say that this was my 12 years of working in the city of Chicago. The city does not work for each and every one of you here today. It may work for a couple of you, but the vast majority of you, it does not. I'm here to fix that. What I will say about myself and in my journey for mayor is that I've been a model of consistency. I've worked and I've led on the following. I've led the fight for 15 in the very beginning. I was one of the first two aldermen to sign on to that. I led in the elected representative school board and worked with the teaching union and other advocates to get that finally passed. I've led in anti-violence initiatives, led in early childhood education group, led a labor peace agreement to the airport, and also with police reform here in Chicago. These are things that I've been doing in my 12 years of serving you in the city of Chicago. I want to continue those efforts as mayor of the city of Chicago, because I think we need somebody that has the experience, that has the knowledge and dedication to do what's right, not just what's convenient in the city of Chicago. I'm here to be that person to serve you and get Chicago on the right track. Please consider this as outcome of support. I want your support for mayor of the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
Wells.
Good evening. I'm Paul. I'm Paul Ellis, and I'm thankful to be here today. You know, the most critical issues facing our city, I'm saying, are communities, struggling schools, inequitable budgets, are all the product of evolution. There's a leadership crisis. As your next mayor, I have the administrative skills and track record to assemble the type of diverse leadership, talented team, committed to serve your interests and get our city back on track. As a grandson of Greek American immigrants, a family of six veterans, three police officers, two firefighters, three teachers, and small Greek restaurant owners, I've dedicated my life to public service. For 30 years, I've responded to every request without ever questioning the task at hand or the obstacles in place with the goal of serving the community. If I leave you with anything, I want to say that I am a transparent, inclusive, and accomplished leader who has a reputation for working with the community to get things done. Together, we can get Chicago back on track. Thank you so much, and thank you for being here.
Willie Wilson.
I'm running the mayor of Chicago. The fact is that we have a problem: crime, taxes, people are unlikely to make it work. People pay our budget taxes, real estate taxes. People are moving out of the city of Chicago. People shut up in Oak Brook. People shut up in Indiana. Shut everything Shut up. The police officer needs to be respected. We will fight for what's right. We will make sure that people aren't afraid of stuff that they get. We will make sure that they're not scared in their homes. And we will make sure that we take a hand of the police officer. I got my paycheck. I won't take a paycheck. I promise you to just take it tonight with my own money. And I'll use the benefit of its citizens.
Questions and the way this works, I ask the first question to a specific candidate, and they can give 60 seconds to answer, and then two rebuttals. That rebuttals each are 30 seconds. As you can tell, they love that buzzer. First question, these are questions again selected by the audience and the groups organizing and sponsoring this debate. So the first question goes to Robert Sawyer, and I'll read it. Chicago police have some of the lowest case closure rates in the country for violent crime. Recently, the arrest rates for carjacking was 3%, meaning 97% of the people committing carjackings are never arrested. Why does Chicago underperform other big cities, and what would you do differently to rein in violent crime in Chicago, Robert Sawyer?
Thank you. The problem with violence and police low rates of closures is really started with the police department and its leadership. We want to make sure, and as a person that's been working on police reform and things that they try to connect the community with the police, I've been working on that for the last 7 years with the Power Communities for Public Safety Initiative that's now maybe some of you all running for one of those spots. We have to continue to make connections between the community and the police so that we can have higher clearance rates. Somebody knows what's going on. We all know that. Someone knows what's going on in every particular neighborhood when crime occurs, but yet legitimately they're afraid to say it because fear of ramifications on those that are perpetuating the crimes. We need to have leadership at the top that will have the trust of the police department rank and file to make sure that they can do their jobs effectively without fear of retribution. Because we support the police and want to make sure they apprehend criminals and bound them to trial.
30 second rebuttal goes to Paul Ballas.
Well, first of all, leadership training is a priority. But look, you're not going to be getting close cases if you can't respond to 911 calls, 406,000 911 calls not responding to. There needs to be beat integrity. Every police beat needs to have a police car. The CPA needs to have police officers on the CPA platforms and interfaces. And until you rebuild the detective division and provide the detective support to protect witnesses and victims, you're going to continue to have significant problems closing that case.
Third second rebuttal, Brandon Johnson.
So my wife and I are raising our kids in the west side of Chicago. We have tremendous incentive to make sure that we have safe for our communities. And so one of the things that we have to do is make sure that we're investing in our communities.
The next question, staying on the theme of the police department, goes to Cam Butler. I'm going to tell you the false answer so they can really be prepared. Not a surprise this time. Willie Wilson is a big king of the new bodies. So the question goes to Cam Butler. Here it is. Chicago is under a federal consent decree to reform the police department. The recently passed Safety Act is designed to create transparency and accountability for policing. Chicago already has multiple layers of oversight, and now will have an elected police council. Still, police performance is low, morale is even lower, and the community lacks trust in their police. Do we need more oversight, or should we take the cuffs off the cops? How would you improve police performance and improve community relations at the same time, Cam Butler?
Thank you, man. We don't need more oversight. We need better overseers. The problem that we have right now in the city, as was stated earlier, is that we have a leadership deficit. The truth of the matter is, if you talk about the next race, the mayor said that she wants to get to 60% on homicides. When I went to work at our high school, the University of Illinois, 60% is failing, right? It's a theme, it's not good. We got to make sure that we have the parameters in place to move this department and city along. I know a person on this panel who has had an opportunity to work with the Department of Justice on the consent decree, and I know what we can do to fix what's going on with this department. Furthermore, I'll say the safety net, a primary argument for that. It was designed to make sure we had transparency, accountability, and that the people in Chicago, the people in the state of Illinois feel safe and they feel just. We have a way to work together to get this done and to actually do the work with the leadership.
Willie Wilson.
Besides being the only woman up here, actually the only person with a real plan for safety, go to my website to read it. But the highlights are, you know, bringing police back, retired police back, thousands of them. Other big cities do that to solve some of these clearance rates. Like you said, we have some of the lowest in the city. Also, putting police back in communities. We can change from 3-shift to 2-shift and use that day one. Altieri.
This next question goes first to J. Maureen and then follows John McAllen and Paul Ballas. And this is from Amanda Denkin at WTPO. Should Should Chicago maintain a database of alleged gang members? If so, what should the constraints be? And if not, what should be done instead to better keep watch over gangs and prevent retaliation? Jim Alden.
You know, I think the city would do better in making sure that we invest in making sure that folks don't join gangs in the first place. We spend too much time and effort into systems that are not working. The gang database needs to be abolished. And the reality of the situation, is that if we don't invest into young people, if we don't invest in the next generation and make sure they got a pipeline of middle class jobs, we don't make sure that young people can start working early, 12, 13 years old in apprenticeships. We don't put trainings back in the school, tech hubs around the city of Chicago. If we don't start to invest in the next generation, then what they're going to do is go back to the streets and go and connect with other people who relate to their daily struggles, and they form cliques. It's not gangs anymore, it's cliques. We need to make sure that we are preventing that by giving them alternatives. And we also, our campaign has presented a plan for a youth intervention department where interventionists will have priority over young people 25 and under, put them on the right path.
First of all, Johnny.
I wouldn't abolish the database because knowledge is power. What I would do is help the people who have these problems. Getting our greatest teachers, people who came through the system who have been incarcerated and found their way after. These are the greatest teachers of the future. They did not have been in prison, and I want to bring them and meet the people who are having these problems so they can inspire and give them hope because they relate to them, and that's very important. They're the teachers of the future, the people who did bad and then learned good after that.
Support for the city.
Well,
it was a top priority of our city. It was a shame that politicians stood by and allowed our man to shut down those schools, sending kids into our territories, as well as shut down mental health facilities. We need to make sure that we reopen them, but we are moving forward a plan for wellness centers where we can tackle mental health in a holistic way and make it a place where everyone wants to go and get well, whether it is our students, whether it's our police, whether it's our community.
Next question goes first to John Gallo, followed by Sophia King and Robert Sawyer. Here's the question. The federal government recently indicated that they will soon be ending the COVID-19 public health emergency declaration. When this lapses, many pandemic measures to support our public health system, such as emergency added funding for local hospitals and loosening of doctor nursing licensing requirements, will go away. As mayor, what will you do to support our public health system through this transition? Question goes to Johnny Rowell.
Well, it's very important that people have resources to keep themselves healthy. And I would bring in a holistic team of doctors and medical team to inform people, because what has happened in this pandemic, we took the approach to run and hide, we covered up, we shut down everything, destroyed the economy, and we were told that we were protected from this virus. Actually, when you shut down the city and you increase stress in the state of a pandemic, you're actually increasing the possibility of getting the pandemic. So myself, I will work to continue to be resources to keep everybody safe and healthy and actually educate them about really protecting yourself from the pandemic. And that's about eating good, exercise, sleeping well, and empowering yourself. Because you can't hide it from the pandemic. It's more than likely going to get you. I want you strong enough so you can beat it. That's my vision. And I will work to keep the money coming and keep us resources for the people.
First rebuttal, Sophia King.
Yeah, so really I thought about the distribution of resources, which we uncover how we spent resources for this COVID-19 and also for social unrest. It wasn't distributed equitably. So I would start with doing that. Make sure that we have equitable distribution of resources. The mental health clinics would be a huge portion of that. And other public health clinics to put money towards that instead of towards privatization, which really is a gift to the people who need it the most. We quickly forgot who our
I could not survive under that. I think I'm going to write for office. Robert Sawyer.
Thank you. The problem that we have as our COVID funding is ending is that we wasted money on cheap tricks and stuntry to the public in order to garner votes as opposed to really fighting public health. What we need to do is, one, understand that public health clinics right now are the five that we have. All five are all underutilized because we haven't done a poor job at making advertisements to people to know that they exist. We have five open, we need to use the five so that we can grow to double that and get back to the original 12 that we had.
Next question goes to Brandon Johnson first, follows Willie Wilson, and John Eric Gallo. From United Neighbors of the 35th Ward, as we came up with this question, the United Neighbors of the 35th Ward. You support the Bring Chicago Home campaign to create a dedicated revenue stream for permanent housing and supportive services for people experiencing homelessness. You support increases in the real estate transfer tax on properties over $1 million to fund the creation of this dedicated revenue stream for homelessness, Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, I do support the Bring Chicago Home. This is very critical, as well as the financial stream that's necessary to solve this crisis. No one should be too poor to live in the city as well as the city of Chicago. It's unconscionable, it's actually a pretty good check-up system. My brother is a superhero that died from his drug addiction. my powers. As a public school teacher, I've seen what homelessness looks like firsthand. Where we have thousands of students all over the city of Chicago that are in the house. And look, if we're not doing something as basic as making sure that they're going to the right to have homes, that's again, that's the failure of the system. As Cook County Commissioner, I actually passed a law that any discrimination against those who are incarcerated and seeking housing is top of line. Public housing and affordable housing is the top of line.
First rebuttal, Willie Wilson.
I'm not going to pay any taxes. Here, here. I'm going to be incarcerated taxes and the limited people of our province today.
I don't want people living on the street. I don't want to accept homelessness, and I don't want them to accept that they're homeless. I want to teach them that pain came in their lives, and it grew in them. Pain is supposed to come into your life and leave you, not grow in you. So there's a deeper problem than just providing a home for them. I want to help them find a home for themselves.
Next question goes to Willie Wilson first. It follows from John Gallo and Robert Sawyer. And this comes from Native News. Chicago is experiencing a deep shortage of affordable housing. The controversial mixed-income development at 5150 Northwest Highway in Jefferson Park includes CHA-sponsored apartments and affordable housing units. Do you support the construction of mixed-income developments throughout the city, including wealthier neighborhoods such as Edgebrook and Norwood Park? What would your policy be regarding affordable housing? Really listen.
Affordable housing, everybody should have a way to build what you look like rich for. A lot of people have said that you look like and rich because of over 18, and they can only find themselves in great houses. Right? So we must come together. The problem is that the politician is taking money from outside of major corporation and white collar crime when they're going other places. People have got to stop white collar crime. People got to use common sense. People that you think should not be bought, you know.
This idea of bringing people from different areas, and you're changing so much of the dynamics of the area. For example, so many people have such a high income in one area, and then you want to bring affordable housing into this neighborhood. It causes a lot of conflict because people don't know how to get along with different people they've never experienced in their life. So it's very hard.
Thank you. In response to your question, then, I did vote in support of the public housing initiative in Jefferson Park, and I had to do it in spite of my colleagues' opposition, whom I have great respect. because it was something that was much more important. We need to have a real discussion on how we determine how public housing, affordable housing is built in the city of Chicago, and we need to have that discussion right now, and it will be done with me as mayor.
Next question is goes to Robert Snyder first, who follows Brandon Johnson and Bill Wilson. This is from 38th Ward resident and environmentalist Sue Zinni and the Secretary of State Development Association at Grant College, UW Boulder. 100-year heat waves and 100-year floods now come every few years. Chicagoans feel the impact with heat-related deaths, flood erasements, and strains on the power grid, while asthma rates climb among children who worry about lead in their drinking water. As mayor, what tools would you use and what actions would you take to address climate change impacts in Chicago? What would be your highest priority, Robert Snyder?
Thank you. These issues are extremely important to us as a city, and they're all very, very expensive. This is where I would use my abilities to collaborate and engage people on the state and federal level to assist us in financing these things. I know I saw an article in the paper a couple of days ago where we have 300+ thousand lead lines and only a couple of hundred have been replaced thus far. And we know that this is a multi-billion-dollar initiative. Let's be real. Let's make sure that we engage with our partners on the state and federal level. Not talk about them, but engage with them and see how they can help all of us get this together. We have to fight these things. The 100-year heat wave, asthma. My son experienced asthma, and I think it was because of the environment where we live. So I'm always supportive of these initiatives, but in order to get them done, they take real serious conversations with partners that can help us finance these expensive initiatives.
Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, as mayor of Chicago, I'm going to fully staff the Department of the Environment and make sure that there are some competent people there that believe in environmental justice. You know, that border of asthma has been suffering from it. Thank God for the Badges Clinic, Cook County Hospital. That's where I receive services. Some has asthma, it's a matter of life and death. You know, look, there are two individuals who are not here tonight who did not see anything when the Hill Cove exploded. And on the southeast side of Chicago, in July, I was trying to move over there to further make it toxic for those residents. I stayed in those communities to look when I'm living as in Chicago.
Willie Wilson. This next question goes to Jonathan Gallup first, who follows Robert Sawyer and William Wilson. Here we go. From Native News, this is from the Native News. Are tax increment financing districts good or bad for the city? Please explain. Jonathan Gallup.
Basically, everything is about taxes with people in the city. They're talking about taxes to fix the problem. I think the real problem is mismanagement of the budget. You have these administrations get in office and they serve themselves and they don't serve the people. And they want to create more and more taxes and give us less and less. I don't support any tax increase or any type of area that provides that for people. It's all about budgeting the city correctly and stabilizing it and bringing gifts to the people, not taking from them. You mismanage the budget. You go to the people, we need more money. You go to Washington, we need more money. Anytime you take money from Washington, or from the people, well, especially Washington, you take money from Washington, they control you. I want this city to budget itself correctly, manage the money properly, and give back to the people. I want the streets fixed. I want the city safe. I want people to get something back, not keep taking, 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 because what happens, it's like a bank. We're all there working. Let's give ourselves a raise, another raise. And what do the people got? Everybody's unsafe and terrified.
The bubble of privacy.
The chip system is flawed. It started out as a good idea with serving blighted areas. Now it has evolved into areas that are pivoting the TIF program to continue to highlight affluent areas. We have areas like Fulton Market and other areas that continue to extend their TIF life, and they don't need it anymore. We need to be in Inglewood, we need to be in Lawndale, East Garfield Park. These are areas that need TIF funding and assistance and growth. That's what we need to do, and as mayor, that will happen.
Williams.
Raising taxes are bad ideas. Taxes come to the front. This is a bad idea. You raise taxes, you run a lot out of the city. You run businesses out of the city. When you raise taxes, you lower the community, bring business back, bring a national business back, the tax base is lower than the city taxes. Taxes are bad ideas. Cameron has said before, the bribe and tax, you got air tax, you got air tax, tax is not the tax, you got air
tax. Next question, Sophia King first, Brandon Johnson, Jamal Green, the vote. Many neighborhoods in Chicago have been long plagued with vacant storefronts, while nearby suburbs are bustling, despite typically having higher property tax rate. City funding has been dramatically cut from local chambers of commerce. The neighborhood tour program, which drove $200,000 of neighborhoods, has been eliminated. What will we do to revitalize retail and manufacturing in Chicago and all of its neighborhoods? Sophia King.
Thank you for that question. As an alderman over the Michael's development, I've shown how you can bring revitalization back to a community. Again, showing that developers can have an upside, because we need to have development as part of it, but community can have an upside as well. It is one of four striking developments in the city of Chicago, and one where you never heard any exemption. The other three, the Obama Center, the 78, and Lincoln Yards. I brought a community together, an advisory council together, to lead me in that decision. I got affordable housing on site of that development. I got $25 million commitment for education for that development. I got a commitment to diversity and hiring for that development. Again, these false narratives, we can show, and I've shown, and be able to get things done by bringing people together. This development has been able to bring people together and impact the community and the government. See you later.
As Cook County Commissioner, I've secured hundreds of millions of dollars for infrastructure, whether that's through our transportation system, our work with the land bank, and of course, with small business development. The business of Chicago has to be about the business of people. By promoting and supporting our education system, making sure that we have appropriations for those who wish to experience an entrepreneurial demand. This country has provided to the communities who suffer. That will be top part of my administration, but as a Cook County Commissioner, we're going to expand that what's on there in Chicago.
Jamal.
Chicago needs a public bank. A bank that is our own economic engine that can invest back into neighborhoods, where we can prioritize small business development, investment in income-based housing, as well as for mortgages. And the profit from that bank goes back to city services for paying down our pension crisis or for being another funding stream for our underfunded schools. We have to be a pro-small business city. Every person that wants to open up a business, their first business license should be free. We need to streamline a permit inspections and licenses as well.
This next question starts with Jamal Green. And follows Campbell for Paul. And it comes from Amanda Benke of WTTW. Thank you. Chicago's recycling rate is under 10%, significantly less than cities such as San Francisco, which diverts about 80% of its waste from landfills. Should Chicago prioritize improving that rate, and if so, how, Jim Alden?
100%. Our environment, you know, it is so important that we protect our environment. You know, I shared some commissioner here that talks about the Department of Environment. We must make sure that we're putting our money into education, into making sure that people understand how important recycling is, and making sure that people that is accessible to people all across the city. It's an important thing that we must do. Because everything of climate change is real, we must recognize it, and we must make sure recycling is a priority for the city of Chicago.
So our current recycling rate is extremely physical, and we've got to be real about it. What I'm calling for is not just reopening the environment, not just expanding it, but elevating it to commissioner level. Person's role, so it doesn't matter who the mayor of Chicago is, this work will be done across every single city agency in this city moving forward. This has to be our current call. This is how we go to city board. We cannot continue to put it on that. Paul.
Whether it's dealing with the issue of climate change, environmental justice, of clean water filtration systems in the homes, or recycling, it's not going to happen. Until you have a strong, robust, empowered EPA, simple as that. That's got to be a top priority for my administration. Thank you.
This next question starts with Cam Walker. He follows Jim Albrecht and it's a favorite paper. And again, it's from Amanda Davis. It's all over. Here we go. What are your plans for solar PV? If you want, I'm going to refrain from making comments about the Bears. What are your plans for Soldier Field? If you want to pull out all the stops to try to get the Bears to stay, what would you do to keep your team in the city? And if the Bears leave, if the Bears leave, what should be done with the stadium and campus? I apologize for that tangent. Can't find it.
First, we're going to protect the quarterback. Seeing what the lack of planning, and the mayor's office looks like for that beautiful facility. But I also know is that this fight that is happening between the Cassie family and the organization and the Good Forest City Hall is really indicative of the way this area has fallen with everything that is going to make problems for the biggest. What we need, number one, is leadership who can finally get to this set in the middle. Second, Slugger Field is a beautiful lakefront facility. And we have that real opportunity, if the Bears do have to leave, to find something we can do with this space that speaks to the future of what Chicago is going to be moving to. Like, I'm happy and open to having those conversations. We should have that open.
Jim Albrecht.
You know, I think the conversations are, you know, past this point. I think the Bears have already kind of made their decision, especially because it benefits them financially when you look at everything that they're doing in Arlington. Of course, this conversation needs to be had when we walk into the next administration. But I think we need to be looking at long-term how we want to make Soldier Field, revitalize Soldier Field. I think that we should be spending billions of dollars, but it definitely needs updates, maybe a couple hundred million dollars, leases to colleges, and possibly another building.
Right.
Sophia.
Yeah, I think we should definitely try and keep it. But here's the deal, this is about a situation where, again, we're attacking people and not problems. So that negotiation broke down right away. We've seen that with McDonald's, we've seen it with Boeing, we've seen it with a number of things not working for our city. So we need to make sure we attack problems and not people. The funding for the state is there, it's got to come from the state. I think if it goes anywhere, it should go to the city. We should have our elected officials who represent the state make sure that funding comes to the city.
This next question starts with Will Wilson and our fellows J. Mark Breeding and Cam Butler. Here we go. Chicagoans are feeling the squeeze. Taxes have been raised year after year, and yet in order to address rising obligations for law and on pension debt, the city will need to raise revenue. Do we need to raise more revenue to solve our problems, make more cuts, or fall? How would you secure Chicago's financial future, Will Wilson?
Well, right now,
wouldn't be needed so much if the city was safe. Boeing was leaving the city because the city is not safe, just like many other places. So instead of their coming, I wouldn't abuse them. I would really encourage anybody to stay here. Because first, it's our obligation to provide safety for these companies and their employees, so they do want to stay here. And that's what I'm going to do when I'm in there.
Yeah, we have the brightest, most talented workforce anywhere in the country, right here in the city of Chicago. The highest demographic of those who have an education, that's just really matter. Our black men in particular, the assistant is actually two of the best paid people. But given the opportunity, I'm far more creative, I'm creative, great jobs, new technologies, open up our economy to new innovation. This room in the city of Chicago, 71% of Chicagoans say that those who make the most money should pay their fair share of taxes. What's not fair is that the corporate Dr. Wilson simply the same tax rate as the question in the city. That's not fair.
CPS, privatization hasn't always worked as well as predicted. Do you see privatization as an opportunity to make city operations more efficient? Would you support or oppose further privatization of public assets? Brandon Johnson.
What we've seen in Chicago is the abuse of power from the fifth floor, where individuals who are tied to the administration get to get a contract and kick that to do anything and everything that they want to do. That type of system that's armed our public schools has caused the great decline in veteran teachers. That system has also left our schools guilty, and it's actually caused the type of disruption that we're seeing economically in this city. Look, the reason why people are struggling in this city, and I know that's a white man out of raising a family in Chicago. Police officers are tired, teachers are tired, nurses are tired. You know what's most tired though? Is the mayor of Chicago. As mayor of Chicago, I'm going to make sure that we are investing in the public process. The public good is going to secure the city of Chicago, and you need someone who believes in public accommodations, particularly someone who is a descendant of the formerly enslaved in this country. We have been remedying our power to make sure that healthcare is human right, education is human right, transportation is human right, and all the people that are human rights are human rights.
Well, certainly privatization hasn't worked in the city. Certainly, the Earhart and Sodexo contracts are a disaster. I mean, are the schools any cleaner, really? Or, for that matter, are the meals any healthier? I mean, the kids only want to eat those meals. At the end of the day, I mean, you have restaurants and food services throughout the city who could serve food for kids, healthy food, healthy meals, not to mention revitalizing the kitchens and allowing them to be run by school employees. So no, privatization has not been affected, particularly with respect to food service.
The public voice to you, Ron Wilson.
Thank you. During my term on City Council, I led the anti-privatization initiative. I was here many years ago discussing that with various organizations. So this is something I've been actively engaged in. I produced the ordinance in City of Chicago that prevented future sale of assets like the parking meter deal and the Skyway deal, and I'll continue on to resist those types of efforts in the future as mayor of the City of Chicago.
This question goes to Paul Ballas. Public transit riders across the City of Chicago are growing.
Sorry, sir. See how fair my administration is?
I've known Ray Richards for 20 years, and he's a correct historian. I think. First, this question goes to Paul Ballas and his Ray Richards. Our model. Charles, Sophia King, and Kim. Thank you, Brenda. Here are the fall ballots. Public transit riders across the city of Chicago are growing increasingly frustrated with performance of the CTA. Just here on the northwest side, the blue line has had days running as little as 43% of their scheduled trains. What will you do as mayor to revitalize the CTA and improve services for 1.6 million Chicagoans who rely on the public transit system every day all night?
I mean, besides firing the current leadership of the CTA, which is what I'm doing,
look, the bottom line is the biggest issue that the CTA is facing right now is crime. Ridership is down 38%. You know how to solve the problem? They're going to increase fares. Only 18% of the income from fares is actually subsidizing the CTA. It used to be 47%. My party is to take $100 million in privatized safety and security contracts, and you've all seen those safety and security personnel, and with that amount of money, you could literally put between 600 to 700 Chicago police officers in mass transit, covering every station, covering every platform, and riding the seat, riding the trains like they do in New York, both in uniform and in cover. The way to revitalize the CTA is by making sure that safety of travel is a safe passage. That needs to be guaranteed, and that'll be a top priority when I come.
First of all, Sophia.
Yeah, as mayor, again, I lead with the collaboration and that conversation, which is part of using the on our public transit system. The RTA, which represents the CTA, Metro, and PACE, is the federal government sees those three entities as fighting for federal money. We just had, after $29 million from the federal government, other cities asked for $100 million, $120 million, and got it. But they see us as separate entities. We need to collaborate, come together, use the efficiency to scale so that we can fund for real public benefit.
So most of our always want my transit plan is on our website at the moment. Those who want to see it. But listen, I ride CTA on a regular basis. In fact, my staff would not take it here tonight because they said I wouldn't make it on time. So listen, we got a real issue. But our safety problems are really picking up with that. Their ridership is down. Ridership is down because the service sucks. We got to really just figure out a way to get that. We can make the proper cuts and the proper movements when it comes to money. From the state federal level, but at the end of the day, it's service is the name of the game. Public transit has to work very well.
All right, this is our final question before we get to the lightning round. And it goes to Brandon Johnson, the Bottles, Paul Ballas, and Robert Sweat. For 30 years, the mayor of Chicago has exercised complete and total control of CPS. 2024, for the first time, voters are being elected representative board members of the Chicago Public School Board. By 2026, the board will be fully elected. However, between now and then, the mayor will continue to have an incredible amount of influence over the board, and many important issues remain to be resolved. Who will pay the massive debt owed to pensions for CPS employees? What relationship will the mayor have with CPS, even though eventually that mayor will no longer not only be the sole decision maker, but eventually will have no one at all? Would you seek to stop this transition, and if not, how will you handle this critical transition, or what will you do to support CPS after it is complete? Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, look, mayoral control has been, you know, an absolute failure, and, you know, this is where, you know, Paul Ballas and I strongly disagree. I'm glad that Southern didn't leave the privatization board because he was the privatizer in chief. I'm glad that we had individuals like our brother Butler who was able to actually help pass it, but that would not be possible without the people in this room that organized to make it a real dynamic opportunity. Look, my children are public school students. I have great incentive for our public schools to work. And the prioritization of our public schools have to be about making sure that special education is fully supported, that our English language learners are fully supported. Here's your concept. How about when we stop teaching to the test and actually let children and parents have a little bit of time in school? Get along with the stakeholders, and that includes parents, and I love it.
Goes to Paul. Goes to Paul.
You know, I wish I had one time to respond to Brandon, but the bottom line is bad privatization is a bad privatization. Aramark says Excel, privatizing the Mama Manual. Secondly, look, the reality is you're going to have to elect the school board. I'll work with you on the school board. I've negotiated 26 collective bargaining agreements, including 5 collective bargaining agreements in the relevant state about not raising teacher salaries, about ever not told, ever having to close the school, and always on time. On time. So, challenging my relationship with the U.S. Department of Justice.
Second follow-up, of course, second follow-up, I should say, Robert Sosa.
Thank you. In answer to your question, I would not do anything to stop the implementation of the elected representative school board. I've worked on that all the 12 years I've been in office. I've walked the streets. I've caught pneumonia. I've walked out there with Brandon Johnson and others in support of this. I walked outside of my ward to ensure that we would have an elected representative school board, and I will continue to work with them during the transition phase to make sure that it's as robust as possible, because that's what's important. We have to make sure that our children are number one priority.
All right, now we get to the lightning round of questions. We'll keep brief, keep moving fast, and I guess we start with Ken, and that way we'll come back to Ken. So here we go. First lightning round question. Very simple. Yes or no? Aldermanic privilege, yes or no?
No. No.
We have to be collaborative.
We have to be collaborative.
No.
There's a question. What is automatic collaborative? What is privilege? It doesn't exist. As an alderman, I have to elaborate one time, because in order for us to do something, we have community meetings, we have engagement, and we have a decision that has to be made. And that, in my ward, that's how it works. And I'm sure it's a good ward it does as well. So
I would just say yes, but anyway.
No, I gotta be honest with you and honest with myself.
Don't look at me for advice. I'm going to get off to the end of it.
Paul, and having worked with the city council, I agree with you 100%. What is it? Seriously.
Okay. Willie Wilson.
I have to probably say yes, and maybe it's certain, maybe it's not just a mechanical circumstance. If you are a business person, no matter
what. All right, right. You know, it's an additional question. We start with Ken. Down the line. Police Superintendent David Brown. Keep him or fire him? Ken.
Get rid of him.
His days are done.
However, he wants to leave.
I'm going to wish him well.
Fire. He's going to be glad. He's going to probably be glad to be back in Dallas.
I don't think he's going to sit there like he's mayor. All right, I'm mayor.
Now, there's just only one answer to this question coming up. So let's see how this goes. Again, we start with Kim Walker. What kind of car do you drive? I don't know.
few months.
So before I answer this question, I know all the women Sophia Keene is going to get cute with this as well, but I drive her to the door. She's green.
I drive an electric Jeep.
And my car is American made.
Well, so is mine.
Old title.
Hold on.
but they can work many times with the football coaches at CPS, or take them to Josephine's, get them right back.
My work? So now you're putting me on the spot. Although I do love Josephine's, but talking on my way up here, I missed going to Harrington's Corned Beef up on Milwaukee. One of my favorites. So.
You are consistent with that one, Rod.
Because when I come to visit you, I don't bring this.
I bring into the heart of the city, Brandon Halstead, the Lush Corolla.
I'm bringing them to the revitalized Bonneville, to the new Bonneville Wonder.
If you're the Blues world leader, our office has to give you two options. If you're vegan with Johnny's, and we just want to hang out with you, just turn it. It's the new black, turn it into
the okay. You know, I want to take a tumor answer because, you know, I sleep next to a vegan every night, and I'm not vegan. A soul bitch for her, and then Chicago chicken and waffles for me. Brother, my house. You my wife, no way. With question that I just embedded right there, and I probably gave a lot of trouble for asking this question, but the chips fall away. So, yes or no? In your humble opinion, we'll start with Willie Wilson. In your humble opinion, would the excuses offered by Julie Garcia and Mayor Roy for not showing up here absolutely the lamest things you heard all day? Willie Wilson, go. Thank you very much for all of you for showing up and answering questions.